throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Do you see old Saban yesterday?
I read some highlights.
On Capitol Hill?
Yeah. Bringing the heat.
You know what's interesting about Saban? Is if a lot of people would have said yesterday what he said, they'd be getting ripped.
Oh, of course.
Oh, you don't like the kids, you know, the coaches, can you know, all that, the same rhetoric that we've heard about the NIL and the transfer portal and all of that. But when Saban says it, it's like the exact same people go, he's right.
It's funny how that works.
Isn't it?
I mean, not just Saban, with other figures. Like, what if Coach K said something like that, right? It'd probably be the same reaction.
Probably. So we'll talk about kind of what he said. Is there anything that can even be done? The genie's out of the bottle. It's not going back to how he wanted, how he would love it to be. But I thought he had some interesting comments that a lot of others have talked about. But maybe now that he's said it, it carries a little bit more weight. Big 12 tournament started yesterday with kind of the pigtail games into now the bracket. Oklahoma State. What in the world is going to happen up there? 12-20. Season mercifully ends. Do they care enough? Because here's the deal. Football is king. You look around, football pays for everything. And is it enough of a priority? Can it be with needing money for football? So that football can generate all the money for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's such kind of a circular argument, but, man, it's sad. There's no doubt about that. OU today against TCU in the Big 12 tournament up in Kansas City. Thunder lost last night to the Pacers. Didn't shoot it very well. Indiana was really good throughout the game. But it may be an anomaly. I don't have the number. I could go back. But something happened last night that doesn't happen very often for the Oklahoma City Thunder in losses. And then we could hit some high school stuff. Spring sports getting cranked up. I was over at Ackley Park. By the way, if you haven't been to Ackley Park, there's a new addition in the stands.
The stands?
Yes. Metal bleachers.
Oh, really?
Instead of those wooden plank things.
Instead of the splinter givers.
Yes. Well done.
Cool.
Well done. Speaking of Elk City baseball, coming
up.
Did
you stay long enough for them to turn the lights on?
No.
I'm kind of wanting to see what that looks like.
I was just about to leave. They might have been on. I didn't recognize. Well, if they were, it was just like it was light outside.
Sure.
It was a little after 7. Yeah, they probably were on, actually.
Probably didn't even know it. They probably had them on before.
Yes. And it just kind of felt like the day.
No, they've done good things what's the nickname now? The Rock? The Brick? What do you call it?
Ackley Park.
Oh.
I don't know.
Excuse me for trying to be cool.
I don't know.
One time I tried the nickname a brand new gym out here in Western Oklahoma.
How'd it work?
Oh, it did not work well. The superintendent came after me.
Kara said, yes, the lights will be awesome. They were on.
Oh, yeah.
She paid a little bit more attention than I did.
Do they have the blinking effect?
I'm sure they might. Somebody goes yard.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be kind of cool.
I did notice because it was a varsity game, obviously a district game, and then instead of JV, JV was on the road, and it was so the ninth grade were playing.
Okay.
I liked the ninth grade unis.
They have their own uniforms?
They were sweet. Brown. We just really looked sharp. Not that the varsity ones, but I really enjoyed those ninth grade uniforms. Speaking of Elk City baseball. Friday at 9:30, we'll hear from the head man of Elk City Baseball. Jay Mack will be here following up Scotty G.
It'll be a full show on
9:30. You know what's happening Friday.
Because Jay's so full of words, too.
Yeah, it will take long, will it? You know it's happening Friday. And I need to get the times. Because, okay, so last Friday, a matchup that everybody's anticipating and wants to see because of the last couple of years, the Elks were supposed to be in Tuttle last Friday.
Oh, all right, all right.
But it was raining. It was that bad day.
Yeah.
So they postponed that. I think what they're going to do is play two varsity games here.
Oh, cool.
On Friday.
Well, doubleheader.
Yes, and there's no school, I believe, heading into spring break on Friday. And so I think it's going to be kind of...
Those metal are going to be packed.
Kind of an afternoon game.
Yeah.
We'll get the full details on that from Jay. He'll be here 9:30 on Friday. So we can talk about high school baseball. A bunch of the small schools have gotten started nicely. Coming off of successful basketball season, hadn't slowed them down. Oh, by the way, Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge prize pack will be announced.
When?
Today.
Oh,
here
today.
In just a little bit. And I have a feeling that there's six signed up right now. That number is going to skyrocket.
Yeah, I need to get on that.
When you hear what the prize pack is going to be. All right, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else could be on your mind in the world of sports, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside of our listening area one of these days, you can log on to KADSAM.com, stream it that way, or download the app. The Paragon Communications app is free, and it's fantastic. It's got everything. Radio, Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News coming out today. It's on the website, thepennynews.com. It's also, our fearless leader will be headed to Oklahoma City. Hope he gets there and gets back before the wind starts cranking.
Yeah,
Red
yeah.
flag fire warning, folks. Be careful. I drove up through some of that where it swept through a couple of weeks ago on Saturday. It's just heartbreaking.
Man.
It's sad.
We're going to be going through that. We're driving up to Colorado on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, you'll get even further out there because everything I've heard, you get over toward a little bit closer to Canadian, it's just, ugh.
Yeah. And I'm a little worried. I've been seeing this snowstorm that's coming up Colorado way like tomorrow and Friday. So I'm worried. I'm hoping they have the roads cleared off by Saturday. So I could just delay it by 24 hours.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, I'm... in a weird way, anxious to go drive through there and then kind of not wanting to. But, yeah, but got to be careful today because the wind's out of the south today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of opposite of what it was a few weeks ago. So got to be very careful. Got to be very careful.
We got listeners from Daytona Beach, Florida.
Yes.
As we speak.
Getting ready for spring break at Daytona.
Digger and Joe. Let's hope they're not with the spring breakers. They need to be on a golf course somewhere, not spring breaking. Just saying.
Don't get caught up in that mess. I get you in trouble.
Yeah, or get you beat up. Seen some fights from down there, too.
Oh, yeah.
It just shows you the power of the app right there.
Well, you know.
All the way into Florida.
That's cool.
Let's see. How was your night?
Oh, it was low key. It was good. It was pretty outside. And came
it
in.
Was. I thought it was supposed to be windy again.
No, it was nice.
It was very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So spent some time outside, and I mean, nothing major. It's been kind of a dead couple weeks between the end of basketball and start of when our girls start softball. So we've just kind of been taking it easy. Not bad. Speaking of softball, I tuned into the OU softball game just too late. It was already 7-0. But, no, that's about all I did. How about you? How was your night?
I went to the baseball game.
That's right.
Bishop McGinnis in town. The Elks won the first game on Monday, 8-2. We talked about yesterday. And then, so the return trip here at Ackley Park. And, of course, a gorgeous day. Honestly, when I walked outside, because I hadn't been out much in the afternoon, I walked outside and I thought to myself, is this a good idea or should I go play golf? Because of how nice it was. But
yeah.
I went ahead, checked it out. McGinnis is pretty good. Mm-hmm. It would not shock me at all to see a battle all the way through District 5, 4A District 5, between, you know, Kingfisher's got off to a good start with a couple of wins. But McGinnis, I think they swept Clinton, and then the Elks swept them. Wouldn't surprise me at all if you don't see, you know, the Elks, obviously, I would give them what you'd call the upper hand right now, just simply because they played the tougher competition with McGinnis. But Weatherford, Elk City, McGinnis, I think you're looking at maybe a three-horse race throughout the entirety of that district schedule. So Irish got off to a 4-0 lead. Bryce Mouse had a little trouble finding the strike zone. The Elks, you know, it kind of snowballed there in the second inning. A walk or two, an error, and then a hit. Next thing you know, it was 4-0. Going into the bottom of the second, you're thinking, but the Elks scratched out three and actually put a 5 spot in the fourth, I believe it was, to lead 8-5. And then in the top of the sixth inning, it started out just kind of a ground ball and make a throwing error, and then kind of a chopper that you can't quite get to, and, you know, there's a couple of guys on. McGinnis sneaks in one, and then all of a sudden a 2-run home run, and the game's tied in the bottom of the eighth, or the bottom of the sixth, excuse me, at eight apiece. Thinking, dang, I'll have to go back and look. Elk City hasn't lost a district game in a while.
Yeah.
And the Elks come back up, get a couple runners on. Riley Boyd, the senior, hits a 2-run triple to right field, and then they scratch him across, and 11-8, and then Jackson MacArthur, sophomore, who had 3 hits at the plate, came on to finish it off on the mound. So kudos to both teams. It was a fun game. It was tense. You know, it was a really good baseball game, pretty well played. You know, the Elks still without the services of a couple of guys that I know they would like to have with Gino and Colin Church. Talked to both of those guys. They're getting really close to coming back. A couple of weeks, they ought to be back out there. And I will ask Jay this on Friday, but I wonder. You don't want that to happen to start the season, to be without those guys, right? But I wonder how much that's actually going to end up helping the Big Elks through the season, not having the services of a couple of guys that they really were planning on counting on, to force other guys to step up into roles that maybe they weren't ready for, but they've had to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And now when you get a couple of those guys back, how much stronger it makes the entirety of the team, you know?
Right.
Obviously, everybody knows about Cash and what he can do. And, you know, he made a couple of really nice plays in center field. You forget how good of an athlete he is, you know, tracking balls in center field. In at the plate, he had a leadoff triple that kind of got that 5-run inning going. But everybody contributed. Ryland Parks, Tara's son, had a couple of hits and I think a couple of doubles, if I remember right. But all throughout, I think that's what you're seeing kind of take place to me. As bad as it stinks not to have a couple of those, not to have Gino and Church, you're seeing other guys be forced into roles, be forced to step up, and guys are doing it here in the early part of the season. And so I think that may be a blessing in disguise a little bit for the Big Elks not to have those guys and strengthen the depth and strengthen the entirety of the team without Colin and Catch out there.
It would definitely be a blessing to get them out there, though.
Yeah,
they, just to be clear,
they both said a couple weeks
getting over some injury or re, I know,
yeah,
I
injuries,
know,
both of them. Colin had an ankle, and Catch had shoulder.
Catch had the shoulder stuff going on.
So he actually said he was cleared to hit and start throwing yesterday, and then Colin still got a boot. He said 2 weeks, and he would be out of that. And so they were both kind of hoping maybe by that I-40 tournament that's coming up at the end of March would be kind of what they've got what in their minds what they've got on tap. Now whether or not that really happens, but there's, you know, there's a ton of games starting Friday with the two with Tuttle, then they got Mount St. Mary on Saturday, which we saw last year in that regional ended up being the championship game of the regional. That's a good team that was young.
They weren't bad.
They're going down to Broken Bow over spring break to play some games. And then you come back, and that I-40 Classic is right there. And so there's going to be, you know, 10 or 12 games over a week and a half stretch, 2 week stretch here.
A lot of games in this month.
To finish out the month of March after everybody gets off the basketball floor into baseball mode. They've got a ton of them from the middle of March all the way through the end of the month. So
yeah, that Broken Bow tournament looks fun.
Yeah,
not because of who's in it, just because that's a good idea. Go down to Broken Bow, get a cabin.
Yeah, right, they got a giant one.
Spring break. That's awesome. A little jealous. It's cool.
I wasn't invited. We'll ask him why.
Well, you know, maybe.
Well, you're going to be in Colorado, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Well, I'll be having fun too. But
one of these days, maybe I can go on that trip.
On which one? With them?
Yeah.
With the baseball team?
Yeah. Here in a couple of years.
Where'd they go last year? They went down to
Alabama.
Alabama, that's right. Greenbow, Alabama?
Yeah. So.
Then they used to go over to, when in your high school days, over at Phoenix.
Phoenix. We went to Phoenix once.
Yeah.
Got rained out in Phoenix. I'm not joking.
I know. When I was in high school, we would, or the group right before my group, would go down to Galveston, Gulf Coast, Texas area. And then that got shut down.
Clinton was in Phoenix when we were.
Yeah, they would go over there too. I remember that would go like in the mid-90s.
Yeah. This would have been 1996.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were out there too. I actually think they got to play a game before it started raining. We did not.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling about that.
Yeah. So, looking at the standings for
from the text line, that's a good one right there.
What is it?
Yeah. You're going to the Masters. Yeah. Somebody feels sorry for you.
I was trying not to mention that today, and I didn't mention it today.
Has anybody heard that you're going to the Masters?
I am. It's true. All right, so the District 4A-5 standings, Weatherford and Elk City undefeated so far, not only just in the district but also overall. Weatherford's played four games, all district games. They're 4-0 with wins over Anadarko and then Woodward.
I imagine they've had to cancel some games.
I would imagine that could be the case.
Because of?
Well, you look up right there. Marlow and Duncan, 8th and 9th. Canceled.
Wow. What's going on? What was going on then?
Then you got Elk City at 5-0 overall, 4-0 in the district. They also beat Woodward but then swept Bishop McGinnis with Tuttle coming to town. Kingfisher has played six games. They're 3-3, but 2-0 in the district with wins over Anadarko. And then I mentioned Clinton, 2-4 overall, 0-2 as they were swept by McGinnis, 3-0 and 7-1. That was last week. Then they played Leedy Monday, and they lost that one. That score 13-4. But everybody just kind of getting rolling here. I can't wait to see how the new playoff format works.
Don't remind me how that works.
It's going to do just like the softball.
Okay.
And so, you know, before you would start out, in baseball, you'd start out with what they would call the bye district, which would be a best 2 out of 3 against one team. Then you'd have a 4-team regional, which was double elimination in a bracket. This year, it's exactly flipped. You start out with a 4-team double elimination regional. Then you go to the super regionals, and it's seeded.
Ah.
And you play a best of 3 super regional to get into the state tournament. I think it's
the college softball model.
Exactly what it is.
Okay.
And so, you know, last year, everything was set in stone with the districts that were played. And so we knew in March that the opportunity existed, and it came to fruition, of a rematch against Tuttle in the semifinals. That's just the way it didn't matter if it was number one and number two. It didn't make any difference. That is how it was going to be because of how it was already set. That's not the case. The teams, so what's going to happen is, Your district results funnel you to regionals, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's just, you know, you go, that's how that works. But then once the regionals happen and the results of the regionals are final, then the 16 coaches of the teams that make it out of regionals, which I think it's the top two, you know, it'd have to be because there's only 8 districts. Then they rank everybody left after they see the regional results, right? Not going in. And then they rank them. And then 116, 215, obviously, da-da-da,
yeah.
From there. Now, how that works with the state tournament bracket, I think it's set from there. A lot like what we see with the super regionals in softball. So 1-16, mm-hmm. 8-9, you know how that goes, and so on and so forth. So at that point, then I think you could have an idea of who would be playing if all seeds advance, the top 8 seeds advance into the state tournament. And so it gives a little bit more leeway to see results, obviously, not only through the regular season but also through the regional tournament before that kind of ranking happens. And at least on the Big Elk side of things, if they were to get out of a regional going to a super, you wonder how some different coaches might want to do that to stay away from cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we shall see. That's interesting. Tony said that the Weatherford schedule shows a 3-way here. I just see the Mount St. Mary. But they show Mount St. Mary as well. So maybe that does happen.
Oh, that'd be a good one to go to.
You would think that would sure be weird for the Elks and Weatherford to play.
A non-district
game. Yeah. Maybe they're just both going to – maybe it gives Mount St. Mary a chance to play 2 games.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's happening. I don't know.
I don't either.
Well, we'll ask Jay.
Yeah, we will. So that's where the District 5 is. I do think there's 3 teams that are kind of separated themselves with Elk City and Weatherford and also Bishop McGinnis. I think those are probably the 3 best teams. Maybe Kingfisher, maybe the Red Tornadoes can, they're kind of behind the 8-ball right now with those 2 losses to Bishop McGinnis, but we'll see what happens there. Smaller school baseball. Man, we got some really solid records early on. Have you seen the Trojans yet? Have you been able to catch a Canute game? 5-0, ranked number 11.
I caught some of them the other day. They're definitely a lot better than what they were in the fall. That's a nice turnaround, and I equate that to that youth growing up as the season goes on or as the year has gone on. That youth, you heard me talk about them in basketball season, a lot of the sophomores, and they're a big reason why they're a big reason why they're 5-0. There's those guys like Jake Butler, really solid on the mound this year. I know Gredeman's not a sophomore, but he's back, so the bats are working. It's nice showing for Coach Blackburn in his second season with the Trojans so far.
Yes, you got there. Canute's undefeated, 5-0, ranked 11th in Class A. Repo Butler, we talked about their youth in basketball. It's so funny how this does kind of correlate back,
doesn't it? Yeah.
To the baseball field. They're 6-0, ranked 12th. I know
they can smash, man. I've seen some video of them. They can hit. Rylan Moore can really hit, which doesn't surprise me. His dad could hit really well back when he played for both Clinton and then Arapaho. And it doesn't surprise me at all. He's his oldest boy. But, I mean, they're putting up runs just looking at – and that caught my attention yesterday. I saw some video on him. I went and looked. Well, who did they play? Well, they put 10 up against Sayre yesterday, 10 against Hinton, 11 against Sealing, 15 against Big Pasture, 11 against Cheyenne, 12 runs on against Thomas. So no less than 10 runs every outing they've played. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's getting it. That is definitely getting it for the Indians. I know they've got a cud there too.
Well, that definitely helps.
Speaking of dads,
yeah,
that could play.
Yeah,
I know Hydro Eakley stayed undefeated last night. Kind of a come from behind walk off home run type win.
Oh, nice!
To go to 4-0, state number 15. Hollis, my goodness, they've been busy. 13-2. They've already played 15 games. They're ranked number 16. I know that's a younger squad that's trying to get everybody back healthy. Sentinels 3-0, Shattuck's 5-1, Bingeroni 6-3. Those are 17, 18, and 20 in Class A. And then over in Class B, some undefeated teams as well. Navajo 9-0, or I'm sorry, 4-0, ranked number 9. Granite coming off that great trip to the state tournament in basketball. There they are, 4-0, ranked number 12. Hammond's 3-2 at Granite's 10, excuse me. Hammond's 12 at 3-2. Leedy just getting going, 2-1, ranked 13th. Vicei, 4-1, ranked 14th. Blair, they actually got a first place vote in that poll. Down at number 19, they're 5-1, and then Arnett's 2-3, ranked number 20. Here's the deal: some of these teams have to get better because you go back and look at the fall brackets in the state tournament. You ain't seeing nobody. In Class B, the only teams that were west of I-35 played in the title game, Fort Cobb and Calumet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But everybody else was on the east. And, you know, there's some teams in Class A, Fall, that aren't there now, that are up in 2A mm-hmm. with Oak-Tahaa and some of those other, Silo, and, you know, those names you hear all the time. But you do have you have some teams off to really good starts, and, you know, you just see it. The youth of in Western Oklahoma, you get to watch a bunch of it, or, you know, through the years, right over there at the Fiveplex. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all seeing some teams coming through. It doesn't surprise me at all to see, like, Navajo at 4-0. Man, it seems like they've had good little league teams in a lot of different age groups for a while now. And so they're finally making their way on up into the high school ranks, and I have a feeling you're going to see that. That's going to be one of those teams that's going to be pretty good.
It's neat to see.
Yeah.
I've always said that. It's really cool to see.
No doubt. I think I know talking to Cud over in the fall with our young with Wyatt playing with his younger one, they're excited about the prospects of the next couple of years over at Arapahoe with what they got coming, no doubt. So it's going to be fun. You know, baseball, as much as we talk about basketball and Western Oklahoma and how there's always good teams, baseball doesn't take a backseat to that.
Now, that athleticism, it does transfer over. Smaller when you got the multi-sport players, unlike the large schools, you see it transfer over, and you can kind of almost look. They had success in the hardwood. It kind of transfers over to the diamond, too.
No doubt about it. It is a Big 12 tournament opener Wednesday, at least for Oklahoma. The Pigtail games yesterday. We'll tell you about the results of those here coming up shortly. But 2 o'clock, OU and TCU. I have the perfect place to go watch.
You know, your house.
At? Not my house.
Oh.
The Boomtown Grill. Boomtown is the perfect spot. It's going to be the March Madness headquarters. Your March Madness headquarters. To go down, enjoy the awesome different variety of food. I told you, and I'll tell you tomorrow about the Thursday special. But today, get down there. They got the 11 beers on tap. They got 30 bottles and canned beers. Happy hour from 2 to 6, Monday through Friday, which perfect timing. Get down there at 2 o'clock to watch the Sooners and the Horned Frogs of TCU, and it's happy hour. And take a late lunch. Classic hamburger, French dip sandwich, Southwest chicken wrap. There's all kinds of different assortment of burgers and sandwiches. Burgers are 100% beef patties, freshly ground and never frozen. It's our friends at Boomtown Grill. 2103 South Main in Elk City. You can carry food out of there. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but if you're in a hurry trying to get home or what have you, 580-225-3463. You have that option available, and it's open all week, 7 days a week, 11 to 10 on Sundays through Thursdays, 11 to 11 on Friday and Saturday. So Boomtown Grill, a great place to go. Catch you a late lunch, maybe have a cold pop while you're watching Oklahoma and TCU in the Big 12 tournament. All right, let's stay with the Big 12 tournament here to start, Jared. You know, yesterday, just a rough look. Once again, a horrible season continues for Oklahoma State, or a horrible season ends for Oklahoma State at 12-20. There was a point where they were down 25 to UCF. Mike Boynton becomes the only coach in OSU history to have two 20-loss seasons. It was the seventh year he's made the tournament once. I wonder, you know, there's been speculation throughout the season once it started going downhill whether or not he would be back. You know, there's the talk of the $6 million buyout and not wanting to pay that to him and keep him along. Because he wanted that money, you know, from the donor's standpoint, wanting that money to go to NIL and football. My question is this, though. When you look up there in Stillwater, the last, you know, outside of Bedlam, the last handful of home games, the last couple of home games after Bedlam, and, you know, that Tuesday night when Oklahoma played Cincinnati and OSU, I can't remember who they played, who was it that night. Anyway, and both schools say they had 6,000 attendance, and you look and you're going, where are they hiding? through all the talk through the entire season, the one thing that maybe changes the discourse in this is when you end up with 2,500 to 4,000 fans in the stands inside Gallagher Iba as kind of the last thing that you remember. And as much as, you know, you think about back to the Blake days, as much as the records got him fired, it was nobody in Owen Field that really got him fired. And so is that maybe the death knell in Mike Boynton's casket, or do you think he's going to be back there next year?
Well, no offense, but comparing football to basketball is kind of comparing apples
yeah.
and oranges.
But it's still
– you mentioned it earlier. It's the football is the money driver. Basketball, I think the big question is who cares? Does anybody care in Stillwater? I know there's some that do and say it's a tradition-rich program and everything, but if you're not showing up, it just
that's when eyebrows get raised.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's a tough spot. What OSU wants to do? I mean, do they want to pay the money to what is the buyout?
It's like $6 million.
Yeah. Do they want to pay that? Or do they want to ride this out? Hope it turns a corner, and you're a winner. You're looking like the smartest person in the room by holding on to him, and then he turns it around, or do you buy him out, or you just suggest, hey, maybe you should be looking for another job and maybe that school could buy us out? But I think when I was watching that game and just seeing how that game went, I mean, at one point it was almost a 30-point deficit. It was so bad. And I kind of thought this is – my first thought was this is it. Just kind of my reaction with that. That's it for Boynton. And it's going to have – I don't know how quick it's going to come down if it comes down. And but I think it does matter when there's no one in the stands, which is so – and you mentioned the word to use is sad, because that is not the one thing, but one of the things that OSU can boast about in this state. It's like we have the best college basketball fans in this state. They show up. They're loud and rowdy in GIA. And outside of maybe Bedlam, when were they this year? It just doesn't happen. You tuned in, and there was a lot of empty seats in Gallagher Iba. And when you can see a lot of empty seats on TV, because of the way that camera angles and everything, usually you just see that lower bowl, which is typically full. You
right.
game in and game out, students on the baseline, all that. It wasn't there outside of that one Bedlam game. It just wasn't there. That is alarming. I think it just might help to re-energize the fans if there is a change with the head coach and get someone in and reinvigorate the fan base. I think that's where it's got to start, to get those fans back in there, see a little bit of a product of winning basketball, and let it just kind of snowball effect from there. But I think Boynton's done.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. As ugly as it has been since Bedlam, how much concern is there? I think, and this is crazy to say because it's college athletics, but it is just where we're at. I think you've almost, in a lot of ways, got to gauge the players kind of like a GM would at the trade deadline with the NBA. You know, hey, do you think this is a good idea? Because they do have young, talented guys. There's one thing that Boynton was able to do is recruit talented guys to Stillwater. That's where the disconnect started, but he was able to get guys there. Are you so afraid of the entire thing falling apart and having to pick up the pieces, somebody else having to pick up the pieces of an empty roster in real time because of, obviously, the player movement? But should that matter? Is it almost to the point where, hey, just burn it down and then let somebody else begin to mold it in their vision? I mean, and you know that there's promos running all day on the station about who obviously Jim thinks it ought to be, with which is Gottlieb, which I don't ever think that's going to happen. I understand why he would say that. I understand because of Gottlieb's, you know, basketball background and his acumen and knowing the game. But he's never been a coach.
Never been a coach. Go be a coach.
He doesn't have any coaching you know, as far as on the college level.
I mean, not even an assistant. Has he been on an assistant?
He's coached
maybe
like
a GA?
He's coached like a USA basketball or an Israeli basketball thing. That's about all he's done.
Well, I mean,
but at the same time,
it's all well and good. But I mean, you're not recruiting kids. You're not dealing with the rigors of a college basketball season.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be on a staff somewhere or a head coach at a small school. I know he lives out in the West Coast. Maybe jump. I mean, there's plenty of schools out there that he can, you know, D2, D1, even D1 level.
And he's been some sort of advisor right now at Oklahoma State. I mean, his dad's a coach. His brother's a coach. I mean,
it's not like his resume is empty. I get that.
I mean,
but
it's basketball. I think the management of it and the day-to-day operations of it is the part that you'd be a little bit nervous about him. I think game day, just watching the game and figuring out what to do or how to game plan for somebody and seeing strengths and weaknesses of a different team, I don't think that would even be the issue with him. And you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Because I think you kind of – I mean – but it's the organization behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, recruiting and having a plan and having a functional plan that works and that you can sell. I think that's the problem for Gottlieb actually getting that job. So I mean I don't think it's gonna happen. I just don't. But
I mean, he would get people in the gym.
But if that's the whole
thing
though. If that's your idea and that's the reason why you're going to fire Boynton isn't because of results, it's because nobody's showing up, you would think that Gottlieb might be able to spark some interest and get some people there, at least in the early going.
And it would almost be in the same vein of when they hired Mike Gundy as head coach, a hometown guy. I mean, played at OSU.
Except for the fact that Gundy had been an offensive coordinator in different places.
Exactly. That's the only difference. But it got a lot of fans to rally behind him and rally behind the program and look at what it's done. So I can see where you get a guy that, I don't know if I want to call Gottlieb a legend, but he was a great player at OSU, and you get a fan base behind him, maybe get a lot of the boosters behind him, because that's the name of the game. You got to get that booster money, got to get that NIL money funneling in somehow. And if you get a lot of guys, hey, this guy bleeds orange and black, I bleed orange and black, I'm gonna get behind him here. And then maybe that could be the boost that they need, the kickstart that they need for the program. But the big question remains is if you go and get him, can he actually coach? You know, and that's all well and good outside of a game, but during the game, if the results aren't there, the boosters will turn on you pretty quick.
Yeah.
Hey, we're funneling in all this money and we're still getting the same results like we had with Boynton, so what's the point? But yeah, but with Boynton getting fired, I think it's all things with the results and the lack of fans.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, it's accumulation of everything.
If you just tune in, he's not getting fired.
He hasn't been.
He hasn't been fired, but we're speculating of what could happen in Stillwater.
Oh, I think it's a possibility. And you know, here's the allure of Gottlieb is this, and I think Jeremy hits it right on the head. He said, coming from an OSU fan, it's still a stepping stone job unless you're an alum. You ain't getting another Eddie Sutton. And that's the allure of Gottlieb. Because, you know, you think about where, you know, the Travis Ford thing, he was okay, not up to the standard of Eddie. You know, then you hire Brad Underwood, which was a hell of a good coach.
Yeah.
A hell of a hire.
Yeah.
And he kept him a year. And then Illinois came to pay the money. OSU didn't match, and there he went. And now you're left with, okay, here's Boynton, office staff, lead recruiter. That part of it has worked. You got Cade Cunningham. You know, you've gotten talented guys in there, but is he able to coach him? And so far, it doesn't appear that's the strength. You know, Boynton is clearly, everybody loves him. Seems like a nice, energetic fella. But the coaching part of it has been the problem for Oklahoma State. It hasn't been, you know, recruiting at all. So then you think, okay, let's get a young guy that can recruit. Well, you just did that, right? I mean, it's not to the point where what do you have to lose if you would hire Gottlieb? It's not that low. Maybe the next one, if it goes like this, then you get to the point, well, what do you have to lose? I don't think you're there yet. But who has ties to the school who has ties to OSU that would view Oklahoma State in the same light that Gottlieb would, or that Mike Gundy clearly has, as far as this is where I want to be. And it seems like, unless you want to roll through coaches, that's the way to be successful and try to create that long-term foundational success is by hiring somebody that has ties back to the school. Right? I mean, yeah. it seems like that's the blueprint that has worked over time. And you know, you kind of have choices. Do you want to be, you know, Tulsa basketball back in the 90s? Think about the dudes that ran through there. They kept hiring them and kept on being successful, but you didn't have one for very long.
Right.
Eventually, if you don't make the right hire to leave you in a couple of years, then you get to where it's at now. And I don't think Oklahoma State views itself, and it shouldn't view itself, as that. And so that's where I think Gottlieb could make some sense, because that is where he would want to be. So anyhow, it's going to be a really interesting thing to see how that plays out. Sooners and TCU, I mentioned today, getting the Big 12 tournament bracket play underway. How weird is it to see Kansas playing on this day? They play Cincinnati, not a top four seed in the Big 12 tournament. Think about that. That is strange to see the Jayhawks playing before everybody's playing. So that's pretty odd that Kansas is in that situation.
I'd say it's awesome, but...
Well, I don't have a problem with it either.
I don't have a problem at all with it.
All right. Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. 7 brave souls have signed up so far. So let's mark that 7 point before anybody knew what you won. Okay? Because I think this contest is about to entries, because the prize will be to the winner of the bracket challenge. Got any guesses?
Cold hard cash.
It is cash. You are correct. Nice. Got any guesses how much?
No, I have no clue.
We'll fire out a guess there, Jared. Don't shoot too high, though. You don't want anybody to be disappointed.
$1,000.
That's too high.
Okay. $500.
$500. That's exactly it.
Cool.
$500 to the winner of the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. $500 for first, $200 for second, $100 for third. So get involved. I've got a link posted on the Skidding on Sports Facebook page right to our group. You got to be in the group. Western Oklahoma Realty, people before property, is the group's message for you. But just go to the Skinny on Sports Facebook page. I've shared it. Paragon TV has shared it. And just click that link, and it fires you right in the group. And then coming up on Sunday, when Selection Sunday happens, you can start to fill out your, hopefully, $500 winning bracket. So, thank you to Western Oklahoma Realty. We've got somebody else that we're going to be thanking here as well, pitching in for the prize pack. So, get involved. It's going to be fun. March Madness is here. You can finally start watching college basketball.
Yeah.
Finally.
Season started.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of the Big 12 yesterday. Obviously watched the OSU game, and the West Virginia-Cincinnati game was fun. Did you watch that?
It was very, very close. I saw the score at one point. It was very close.
It was fun, but then I realized this is a 14 versus an 11 seed, so maybe that's why it's so close.
Cincinnati gets to play Kansas today.
Now they get rewarded with Kansas, but it was.
Are
a
you
lot
really
of,
worried about that?
A lot of back and forth. What, you think Cincinnati could beat Kansas?
Who can't?
Well, schools here in state.
Yeah, well,
for one, for two.
Yeah, Kansas isn't all scary. They're in trouble. Is Dickinson?
Yeah, that's. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think at last I heard maybe game time, but that was very doubtful.
Yeah, I think that's not only for this week, but obviously next week. And start to pick your brackets. That's something to watch.
You know, I had a question about the Big 12. You know, that we've been talking about that. But by the way, that West Virginia-Cincinnati game, I forgot the final on that one, but it was another high-scoring game in the Big 12. I'm efforting that score.
Oh, gosh. It was...
I can't find it. Anywho.
I got it right here.
It was in the 80s, I believe.
I think it was like 85 to 80 at one point
yeah.
when I looked. Yeah, 90 to 85.
Perfect. Yeah. So, and we've been seeing that. It's been kind of a trend in the Big 12, right? A lot of scoring happening. And we asked that question of what's the Big 12 teams going to look like in the NCAA tournament versus these other teams. Is this a good sign? Do you think the offense, do you think it carries over against these other teams? Could we have a successful run?
Maybe playing West Virginia is a good idea. Looking at their last 10 or so games.
They give up a lot.
86, 94, 81, 94, 67. And 71, 94, 81, 93, 92, 90.
Well, by the way, I'm not suggesting West Virginia or Cincinnati's getting in unless no. they go and win this, or Cincinnati might... goes and wins this whole thing. But, you know, we mentioned the OU and Houston game. We've seen a lot of high-scoring games lately.
I mean, Texas
which has
scored...
been enjoyable to watch. It's been fun to watch.
What was that, 94-80 on Saturday? Texas and Oklahoma? I think the final was 94-80.
Something like that.
It's been better. You know, that's what my one complaint about the Big 12, even though there's quality teams, obviously, it's just such a rock fight. It's so horrible to watch. I mean, that Oklahoma-Iowa State game up in Ames was just awful,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it was a terrible watch. Whereas you could flip it over and see Alabama and Auburn scoring 100. You know what? You know, Kentucky went into Alabama and put 100 or in Tennessee. You know, the quality, but the styles are so much more fun to watch with those SEC games than they have been some of the Big 12 games. But you're right. Down the stretch of the season, you've seen some 80s, even a 90s type games in the Big 12, which you did not see in the first. I wonder if everybody's just beat up and tired and they're like, you know what? I could guard you, but I've been doing that all year. We got three games to go in the conference season.
There's probably something to that.
And, you know, there was always that thought.
But if you're tired on one end, it makes you think you'd be tired on the other and the scoring would stay low,
yeah,
right?
But don't you think there's always that extra pump of adrenaline to make shot as opposed to guard you? It's just harder to do. But there's also there was always that kind of the train of thought that, you know, big long runs in these conference tournaments sometimes kind of wears you down for next week.
Yeah.
Now, it could hurt seeding, but... You know, it's kind of the chicken and the egg, though. You never really know. Because also you see teams get hot in the conference tournament, and then they blow through into the Sweet 16, you know, continue that role.
Right.
But it's not a guarantee.
We saw a lot of Big East teams back in the day do that.
Yes. Well, yeah, UConn came out of nowhere to win the Big East, and then next thing you know, they're national champs.
Way back Syracuse. Mm-hmm. I mean, weren't they like a – I'd have to go back. That incredible run they had with Carmelo, but I even believe they were like a low seed in their – in the Big East tournament.
I think the year Oklahoma beat them in the Sweet 16, they kind of on the bubble to get in. And then all of a sudden, they win the Big East tournament, and they end up being like
they had that white kid who could just hit it from anywhere.
Jerry McNamara?
Yes.
Or Devendorf? They had a bunch of weirdos.
One of the best Big East championship games I've ever seen. I can't even remember who they played.
UConn or Georgetown.
It was a Saturday night, and that was the day. I mean, you circled that. You made a point to sit down and watch the Big East championship game, whoever was in it. That tournament was so fun, but that particular game I remember. Anyways,
Iverson or Ray Allen had a good one back in the day.
Now you're going way back.
Georgetown and UConn.
Yeah. There is something to that too. If you think let's say, just hypothetical. Let's say Cincinnati wins, and then they go and, you know, they'd have to win, 1, 2, 3, 4, play four more games for a Big 12 title, and then that they're in the NCAA tournament. Is that good for him or is it bad for him? I'm not just talking about this. It's across the country at these other tournaments.
Well, you know that
I think you see a lot more, though. You see more like they're on a roll. You know, some it's funny teams like, let's start this tournament tomorrow. We got a rhythm going.
It's funny you mentioned Syracuse because they literally did both. Like that one year when McNamara blew through there and then they go and they get beat in the first round by like New Hampshire or something.
Yeah.
Or Vermont or one of the, but the year before they did it and are, you know, playing deep into the tournament. So, like, they literally were the case for both things back-to-back years.
Good or bad, yeah.
All right. Better step aside. When we come back, I'm going to wait on Saban until tomorrow because that's going to be a lot longer conversation than we had. Talk a little Thunder. Lost last night to the Pacers. An anomaly type of loss because they did something. in a loss that I can't imagine that they've done very often all season long.
I think I know what it is.
Last night in a loss, the Thunder did something in a loss that can't have happened very many times throughout the season.
Well, I thought it was never led, but you, I again, shows how much I was paying attention last night. It wasn't on national television, so I wasn't able to watch, but I was loosely following. So that's not it. They did lead.
They
at one
led
point.
By one.
Was it like 2-1 or something? Or
no,
3-2?
They didn't lead in the first half.
Oh.
They led by one in the second half.
Okay.
That would have been a good one.
Okay, so that's not it. So
that's
what is
not it?
It. That's, okay, what is it?
The Thunder lost a game in which they out-rebounded their opponent.
Whoa. Which doesn't happen often, even in wins.
That's what I'm saying. You know, how many times have we come in here and looked and went, geez, they lost the rebounding by 12, but look at the turnovers. They forced this many turnovers, and that's where they made up the shots, you know, the attempts and that kind of thing. Yeah, last night they out-rebounded the Pacers 50-34, 13-4 on the offensive glass, and yet still lost. Shooting was a big issue. And not necessarily, you know, three-point shooting was a little lacking from what they're normally at, but still 14 of 37 for 38%. That's not terrible. But they shot it bad in the paint. And some of that was due to 10 blocks from Indiana, but the Thunder outscored by 20 in the paint. That's a little bit of an anomaly as well, with even without a big guy. OKC normally dominates paint scoring with the driving, you know, of Shea and some other guys. So, you know, the Pacers jumped out early. They led 22-17, a season low in the first quarter for Oklahoma City of 17 points. Then Indiana cranked it up with 36 points in the next two quarters. I thought, you know, after Thunder cut it to 12 at halftime, they came out of the locker room. They really played well, got right back in it almost immediately. But then the Pacers were able to push that lead back out to 7 going into the fourth quarter, where Oklahoma City had it down and even took the lead at one point. But, you know, gave them a little bit of breathing room going into the fourth, and then there was a stretch there, kind of 5 minutes to go, 6 minutes to go, kind of middle of the fourth quarter, where defensively Oklahoma City was getting stops, and they just couldn't score enough. And that was the difference.
Well, that, yeah, stuff to work on. I mean, it's a – I actually almost wrote that down as a loss. Pacers aren't a bad team. Now they turn around, they got the Mavs. On Thursday, another 9 p.m. game in OKC. But that's because you get to see them on TV.
Well, everyone forgot about that.
What's that?
9 p.m. games in OKC. Everyone forgot about it for a couple of years because you didn't have them because you weren't on TV.
Oh, no, yeah.
You're not in the playoffs. You're not, you know, but the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference, this is going to start happening.
Well, here's the deal.
A whole bunch.
Start spring break early. Take Friday off. You know, most kids might be taking the Friday off anyways. Stay up late. Watch the Thunder play the Mavs on Thursday. Because that could be – could I don't know. I mean, who knows what could happen down the road. Looking at the standings. Where are the Mavs?
They're in the play-in.
Yeah, they're right there. Who knows what that could be a preview of.
Thunder tied atop the Western Conference standings with the Denver Nuggets.
Look out. Here comes Denver.
Yeah, it feels like this is trending toward the Nuggets being the one seed. But here's the deal. Even though they're tied, Oklahoma City is on top of the standings because they won the season series with the Nuggets. They've also won the season series with the Clippers. So, and then tied Minnesota. Minnesota without Towns, man, they went in and beat the Clippers last night like a drum. That's a good win for them without Cat. They haven't just fallen off the map without him. But 118-100, Kawhi Leonard went out with a back injury. We'll see what that leads to. You know, I think a lot of people like the Clippers' chances in the playoffs if Kawhi can play. We'll see what happens there. Didn't look great for him. And so I fully expect Oklahoma City ends one of the top three spots. And I feel even better about that if you've got a injury to Kawhi that is any length of time here down the stretch. They played 65 games, only 17 left, 3 ahead in the loss column over the Clippers. So that's they're in a good spot to be in that top three. We'll just see how many games. Last night was a you know, if you could have beaten Indiana and then beat Dallas, you feel pretty good with 15 to go or 16 to go with your spot having the tiebreak over the Nuggets. Now it's kind of mano y mano. You know, I don't see it. I just think Denver is rounding into championship form. It took them a little, you know, you win the year before, start out a little slow, a little fat and happy. Maybe didn't work very hard in the offseason because of the title and how long you played. But now it seems like Denver is 9-1 over the last 10. They've started to turn things toward, you know, peaking here in April and all the way to June. So, you know, Thunder probably in the top three.
Hey, we should all be really happy about that.
Yeah, if you think back to our preseason prognostications, I think mine were a goal is to be in the top six.
Yeah, mine too.
If you can be into top six, that is like that's the goal, not the dream scenario, but the optimistic view was to host, not only make it in the top six, but then to host. Well, that's happening.
100%. Yeah, that was my goal. So those things are all there. Get them in a series. Mm-hmm. Get them that experience, and then maybe if things happen your way, you could probably win a series. But just get in that top six. Yeah. But this is exceeding the expectations that we had for them. It's great. Hey, and season's not over. I mean, Denver's Denver, and I've said this a couple days ago. Had a feeling they'd kick it into fifth gear here in this final stretch, but maybe Oklahoma City sees that, feeds off that. And we could have a fun, final 18?
17 games.
17 games
and
left.
And here's the deal. We'd also be remiss if we didn't mention, Oklahoma City didn't have Jalen Williams last night.
That's worth mentioning.
You know.
That is worth mentioning.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing to add to. You know, we've gotten so used to them being full strength. I know they've missed the least amount by starters in the league by a lot. Well, guess what? They're the youngest. You know, those things kind of go hand in hand. Good luck, obviously, by not having an ankle roll like J-Dub did on some cameraman guy or whatever. But, yeah, he wasn't there. But we've gotten so used to him winning, especially at home. They hadn't lost at home since January.
Yeah, they're so good at home.
And so it was just kind of a little bit of a wake-up call almost. Like, hey, you know, anybody
– it's all right.
Anybody can beat you. And like I said, Pacers are sixth in the East right now, would be in a series.
Yeah, they're not
against
bad.
Cleveland. And, yeah. And they can score. That I think that's the one thing that – it wasn't necessarily that Oklahoma City lost to Indiana. It's that they didn't lose 150 to 145. They only scored 111 points against a team that really is pretty bad defensively.
Yeah.
And Thunder just couldn't get it going in the first half. Third quarter they did, but outside of that third quarter, you know, you look at their point totals, you know, 17, 29, 41, and then 24 for quarter. That's not very good against Indiana. So it's not often we say this in Thunder losses, but offense really kind of was the problem last night for Oklahoma City. And without J-Dub, you know, not only him scoring, but him facilitating, getting other people shots. I did think the one of the positives, Gordon Hayward was in the starting lineup for him. 3 for 4, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 9 points. Maybe you see a little signs from Gordon Hayward of being able to contribute in the playoffs. The one – and this has been an ongoing thing for about a month or so. The one guy that it feels like has cooled off and the Thunder really need to get going again is Isaiah Joe.
Oh, yeah.
2 of 8 last night, 2 of 5 from 3. He only scored 6 points. I know he had a long stretch of games there where he didn't score in double figures. That's the one guy that I think Oklahoma City needs to get cranked back up is Isaiah Joe. Coming in off the bench.
Right.
So,
you know, it's going to be cool. Just some final thoughts from me about NBA. I did catch a little bit of the Knicks and 76ers last night, and the Knicks walloped them. And how cool is it going to be if the Knicks are not only a top four seed, but maybe have a little playoff run? Just cool to see playoff, meaningful, long run playoff basketball at Madison Square Garden.
It's been forever.
That'd be really kind of cool. And the 76ers, man, are they spiraling or what?
I saw the day that the quote was, not close. on Joel Embiid.
Ooh, dude.
As far as his return, Maxey was out, and the Sixers are spiraling because all their guys are hurt.
Yeah, that's a good reason why.
I think there was that prevailing thought even through the first part of this injury to Embiid was, oh, it'll be okay, weather the storm, and then, you know, we'll get him back for the last 20 games or 15 games. It doesn't look like that's going to be a possibility. And so now, I mean, they're not in any danger of falling out of the play-in because they're 10 losses ahead of Brooklyn. But with what Orlando's been able to do, we saw that Pacer team last night. The Heat are always kind of the Heat where they can figure it out at any point as it gets closer to playoff time. I think the Sixers are destined for the play-in and not the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how that works in those games, we shall see. But, yeah, with the injuries that have derailed kind of where they were headed, the Sixers seemed on a track to be there with Milwaukee, maybe Cleveland, maybe the Knicks as challengers to the Celtics. I don't see that at all right now. They look like a play-in team that gets to play somebody and is eliminated pretty early if they can't, especially if they can't get those guys back.
No, it's unfortunate.
It really is. They, you know, Embiid has been so good the last couple of years. And selfishly for the rooting interests of guys that we know, I would have loved to have seen Buddy Hield in the playoffs on that team if he could be a real contributor to winning.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get to see it. All right, everybody, have a great Wednesday. Head down to Boomtown, 2 o'clock to watch OU. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.